Praise the Lord.
Well, I love it when God adds extra scriptures to my Bible.
That you've never seen before.
I've never seen before. And he stuck one in on me the other day. It's found in John chapter 3. Happens to be verse 16.
Wow, what a new thing.
Oh, no.
That's a new one.
How you got that in there?
Yeah.
John 3:16. For God so loved. I didn't say God loved. It said God so loved. Meaning that there was something bigger than anything ever expected. Something bigger than anything ever experienced before. The so loved, so great a salvation, for instance. Scripture's full of much more. That what God does is more than what you think when you first look at it or you first read it. I remember when I was 9 years old, my brother and I don't know if he was a Christian at the time or not. I wasn't, but Mom had us reading the Bible. And so we'd been reading John chapter 1, John chapter 2, and he'd read a verse, and I'd read a verse, and he'd read a verse. I think we'd do a chapter a day, you know, just reading back and forth. And anyway, we got to John 15. Mine was John 3:15, and his verse was John 3:16. And so he started to read it, and I just broke out bawling, you know. And of course, Mom comes over thinking, you know, Joey's tormenting me or something. You know. What's the matter? What's the matter? And I said, I don't know, but I felt something.
I don't know, but I felt something.
That's and cool. I actually felt the love of God.
Wonderful.
And I'd never known, I knew Dad loved me, Mom loved me, you know. I'd never felt love. And so I wasn't going on until I got to read the verse. So finally Joey said, you can read it too. You know? So we both got to read it. You know, for God so loved. But what got to me the other day, I was been trying to get near to God to not only walk in holiness, fasting, prayer, being in the Word, doing, you know, just everything I know to do to come closer. And I keep telling him, I don't know how to do this. I know that there's something possible, but I don't know what it is. And I don't know. And several times I've been caught up into heaven. And I was just telling him, I said, now, you know, I'm sure I can't dictate that, but anytime you'd like to invite me home, I love it just to be caught up in glory, caught up in heaven, like Paul said, whether in the body or out of the body, I don't know. But I see things and I hear things. I'm talking to my son, and he's talking to me about music and different things, and I said, well, I really don't listen to music anymore. Other than I put it on when I worship in the morning. I have a lot of the old choruses like we do. And the old hymns all on instrumentals, so there's no words. It's just the instrumentals because I've memorized it all, so I know what it is. But I worship with it. But other than that, when I'm traveling, I don't listen to music of any kind. I don't understand a lot of the new music, so and he said, well, I don't understand because he's a musician. And I said, well, I said, I've been caught up into heaven a few times where I heard music. And I said, there's nothing down here that sounds like anything like that up there. And it spoiled me, you know. And anyway, on this particular day, I said, you know, if you want to open the heavens for me, I'd enjoy that, but only at your invitation. And all of a sudden, he opened the heavens. And and I looked, and it was just lights, beautiful, beautiful streams of light. But the colors were such that I'd never seen anything on Earth. You know, we see the northern lights sometimes, be about the closest that I could say, but it was many more colors than that, colors we don't even have here. And they were just moving and going, and I just, you know, was caught up in it. And then I got to looking, it was actually rods of light. Isn't that something? And then I began to recognize, no one told me, there was nothing written on it, but I knew that this rod was love. And I thought, I wonder if I could touch it. I reached up and I could actually get a hold of love. I looked over here and there was faith. They're tangible. The love is tangible. Faith is tangible. But there's hope. I reached up and grabbed it. Well, I never thought of hope being tangible. But then Paul did say it was an anchor. I guess that's pretty tangible. And I saw joy. But joy was tangible. And peace was tangible. Grace was tangible. I thought, I don't even understand heaven. I don't even know how I'll navigate when I get there. You know. But obviously it is far, far beyond anything we've ever seen, anything we've ever imagined. And I don't think, just from what I've seen the few times I've been there, I don't think in a million years we'll even get hardly a glimpse of it. I think it's so far beyond that every moment, there won't be days and nights, I can't say every day, but every moment there'll be something beyond where we are. And we've talked about the four living creatures with the wings and the eyes on the front and the back, full of eyes on the front, full of eyes on the back. And day after day after day, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. And with all those eyes, front and back, they still can't see all of the glory of God. Well, if you had 100 eyes looking this way and 100 eyes that way, and you still couldn't see all the glory. All you can do is just stand there and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. Oh, holy, holy, holy is the Lord. You know, and every moment is like it was the first moment of experiencing the glory of God, the light, the color, the magnificence of it all. So when we read that, it's so easy, especially when you've memorized it and, you know, from a kid, for God so loved. But see, love, and we've talked about this, love is energy. See, it says faith is energized by love. Okay, so love is energy. The Greek word actually, King James, is worketh. Some of them, translation would be works. So faith, which is energized by love, you reach up here and grab love, tie it into faith, and boom, you create a universe for the purpose of love. Everything God does, He only has one purpose, one motive. That is love. Okay. And that's the reason why it is so important that He says you need to love one another. We don't understand the energy that has created the tangible reality of God that happens when people love one another. See? Or how that gets all torn up when people don't love one another.
That's right.
But we can feel and we can experience tangible love. And it is energy. It is creative juices.
Yes.
Love itself is creative juices. For God so loved. It was His motivation for everything. But it wasn't an emotion.
No.
We take love to be an emotion. that love is very, very tangible. When two people fall in love, I know with Jesse and I, we could be miles apart, and I could still actually feel her love. Like this, when she was in New Mexico and I was in England, I could feel her love. And then, of course, then she'd write me letters, and it would just, you know, it would just break it open, kind of like opening the Bible, you know. And the love of God just seems to pour out of the Bible, you know. And so the Bible explains the love of God, but the love of God also explains the Bible. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'll say it again. The Bible explains the love of God, but the love of God also explains the Bible. Take love out, and it don't make sense. Love in it, it's a unit. It's a single unit full of power. Many years ago, I taught you on compassion motivates miracles. Okay, every time Jesus did a miracle, it said, and he had compassion, which was this element of love that actually was creative. It actually made things. Sometimes we also learn things by the negative, okay? So, the one thing that we have all experienced is that evil is tangible. Evil is an actual force. It can destroy. You can't see it, but it can actually destroy. It can move things, it can destroy things. You can't see what's doing it. All you see is the destruction. But you know that evil is tangible. And it's not an emotion. It is something very real and something very powerful. Okay, love is very real. It is very tangible. And it is very powerful. The reason why God is wanting us to get this is because we're moving into the age of miracles. All of our witnessing, everything that we're going to be doing, God is going to be confirming his word with signs following. We've had great people, the Smith Wigglesworth and different ones, but they were just kind of like standalones. T.L. Osborne, Oral Roberts, and they were kind of like standalones, but that's not what it's going to be. The body of Christ, it's going to be all believers moving in the power, in creative miracles, demonstrating the love of God. I love this in Romans 5 verse 8, but God demonstrates his own love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. That's where we're going to be as witnesses. This is what's in front of us. You know, we're not going to look back 100 years. We're going to look forward to tomorrow and walk in the power of God, where God demonstrates his love toward sinners. So we're going to have this demonstration. Love is tangible. Love is demonstrable. Not a good English word, but get the point across. See, when I went to work for Lloyd Ketchum Oldsmobile, the first thing he did was give me a demonstrator. He gave me it was 1967, and he gave me a 442 to drive. And he said, unless you drive and you enjoy it, you'll never sell it. And so you have to experience this car for yourself. He said, I could give you manuals and I could give you books and I could show you movies. But he said, the only way you'll ever sell cars is to get in one and really appreciate what it can do. Mine just happened to have pearl seats. I'd never seen pearl colored upholstery. This thing had pearl upholstery in it. And that was my demonstrator to drive. I could take it home and do whatever I wanted to with it, because it was mine to drive. Of course, it was also theirs to sell, which they sold real quick. And he'd give me another one, and they'd sell that, and then give me another one. But how wonderful that God would demonstrate. The God who created the universe would demonstrate his love to us while we're yet sinners. We're not that far from Walmart. How many sinners are over at Walmart? How many sinners are down at Orsland's? They're not in bars. I mean, there's sinners in bars too, but yeah. I mean, there's sinners all around. Yeah. What's he saying? God so loved.
That's right.
God so demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners. When were we going to get the demonstration? First of all, when he died on the cross. Mm-hmm. See? But he's still demonstrating tangible love. People can actually feel. You were talking about raising your hands, and we go into these churches where it's not a normal thing. And I remember at Baptist Church, when after I'd resigned the church there at Holt, we went over to Northern Hills Baptist Church and knew the pastor over there. And so we went, and of course, no one raised their hands, but Jesse and I were singing, and we would raise our hands. We'd about lose the choir. And they were telling us about it later. They said, waves of something is just hitting us up here. Really feels good. They said, just keep doing it. And they said, when your hands go down, it quits, and when you raise your hand, it was tangible for them.
But see, that's an honest expression.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so when we started down to River, there was no one there that raised their hands. You know, and we started raising our hands, and they said they could feel it clear up on the stage. The fact is, the one pastor resigned. He said, "I don't know what it is about him, but I don't have it. I don't have any business pastoring." He said, "I don't even know if I know God the way they know God." Isn't it something that people can actually, that we can raise our hands and that people out here on the street could actually feel it? That it's that tangible, that it's that real? And see, the thing is, we've grown accustomed to feeling the love of God and the presence of God. We feel evil because it is contrary to us.
That's right.
And I used to get so upset because people would say, "Well, our church used to be such a loving church, but I just don't feel the love of God there anymore." Well, when you first begin to really come into the love of God, sure you feel it. But if the church lives in the love of God, you're not going to feel it unless you go sin. You know, you could go sin for a while and then come back and you might feel it. You'd feel the death out there. You know, and then come back into it. Who wants to do that? You know, feeling comes from change. But tangible reality is tangible reality. I don't have to feel love, but I know I'm energized with it. I know I have the power. I know that I can love God, and it affects everyone around me. Everyone down at the condos, you know, I know it radiates out when I'm worshiping God. That's something very tangible. I think I shared with you the time this Episcopal church came to Truth for Youth. I only know how they heard about us because they came out of Kansas and drove over to Kansas City, Missouri, to our Truth for Youth house, and they just wanted to, it was kind of a show and tell, I guess. You know, they wanted the kids to experience something of the inner city ministry. And the thing is, see, the people that brought the kids weren't expecting reality.
No.
And the kids experienced something. They had like two or three van loads of them. So they get all done and they head back to Kansas, and they're almost back home in different vans. The kids said, turn around and go back. We've experienced something and we want it. And they said, well, we can't do that because your parents are waiting, and you know, we have a deadline here. And so, but the kids wouldn't relent on it. And so they said, okay, then we'll have Wayne come. And so they, somebody must have just let them use it, but it was an abandoned farmhouse and this big farm, and they had this spaghetti dinner and had all these kids come. They stayed overnight, had tents and everything. And I went over and just began to talk to them about being born again and baptized in the Holy Spirit. They were Episcopal, so I had no idea whether how many of them were born again or anything. I don't know them. And so I want to present the full plan of salvation and the baptism in the Holy Spirit, because that's what they're hungry for, obviously. They want what they experienced. They felt something. So anyway, I talked for a time, and I could actually feel a tangible faith. Remember Paul at Lystra? And he said he looked and he noticed that the man had faith to be healed. He said, rise up on your feet. See? And kept speaking until I perceived that they had faith to receive salvation and the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And so I told him, I said, now, some of you, you know, you just came here for fun and games. I said, that's fine. You know, so why don't you go and just play ball, or, you know, do whatever you want to do, or go back to your tents and read, or I'm going to let you do whatever you want to do. But those who want something go up to the farmhouse. And they gave us the key where we could get in. No furniture in the place. They brought some chairs with them. So they took some chairs up there. I think we had six chairs. And so I'd line the kids up, six at a time, and lead them in a prayer for salvation, even if they were saved, because I didn't know.
Yeah.
And then pray for them to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Six of them start speaking in tongues. I'd say, now you go over and just kneel by the wall over there. Six more, and did them and had them go. But as we were doing that, the power of God came down on that house like water. And it just splattered and went all out across that farm. And those kids that were just playing, they started running, trying to get away from the glory and the power. Some of them, we drove in our cars 5 miles before we found them. I mean, they skedaddled. One, not wanting to run through the weeds or anything, decided to come by the house and didn't make it. Just boom, and couldn't move. We had to go out and get him and get him loose. God, I mean, he just froze under the power. But it was very tangible. It was very real, whether they wanted it or not. Like the Hebrew children coming out of Egypt. You know, God was on the mountain. Moses and some people could go up into the mountain, and Moses could go up into the glory. But the power was there. Fact is, he said, even set a border. Don't let cattle, don't let your sheep, don't let people cross this border, lest my glory come upon them and they die. Because there's such a contrast between the glory of God and the sinfulness of man. But it was very tangible, and God said, I can't control this. If they cross over, they're dead.
Yeah.
You know. So do we have any idea what power is available for us today to minister the kingdom of God to the people around us? We get lulled down. Even those of us baptized in the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, we get lulled to sleep, and we forget who we are. we forget the power that we have and what can be accomplished. And God's saying, wake up. Wake up. Be alert. My kingdom is coming. Repent. All of us need to repent. You say, well, I haven't sinned. It's not sin that we have to repent of. It's our not moving out in the boldness. Not moving out in the reality that we... It's there. Well, for example, in Jude 20, okay, it says, building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Okay, we received the baptism in the Holy Spirit. We're speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a tangible evidence of the resurrection power of God. That's very tangible. Okay, then that brings about tangible faith. But it also brings about tangible love. See, most people only quote the first part of that. Building yourselves up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. No, it doesn't end there. Keeping yourselves in the love of God.
That's right.
You keep praying in tongues, and this reality, this tangible reality of the love of God will be upon you, around you, in you, and everywhere you go, people will feel the love of God. You won't be able to move anywhere without people feeling you. Feeling the glory of God and the presence of God. And, of course, the people who have stayed in it long enough and then walk out among sinners, sinners just plop down and repent. And they don't even know you're coming. And the next thing they know, they're on their faces crying out to God, forgive me of my sin. What if we walked into power? What if we walked into the glory? I was talking to the Lord on the way over and then reading in Exodus, and it's so wonderful. It talks about Moses, for instance, the friend of God, that he could talk face to face with God. And I said, Father, that just, that's way, 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 way back beyond Jesus, in the flesh, way, way back there. But here's a man that could visit with you face to face. And I said, that would be so wonderful to experience something like that. He said, but you do. I said, well, yeah, we do visit. And he said, don't you speak in tongues? I said, well, yes. He said, well, how much closer to your face can I get?
That is cool. That is really good.
Good answer.
That's wonderful.
Wow.
How much closer to your face can I get than your tongue? And you have tangible evidence.
Yes.
And it's, who's speaking? The Holy Spirit. Face to face. He's actually in our face.
That's cool. That's really neat.
I said, you're right. But we look at things, and then we miss the reality of what we have.
Yeah.
See, how is God looking at us speaking in tongues? Every day we get to be face to face with God. Can't get any closer than this.
No wonder there's such a...
It's the tangible evidence of the resurrection power of...
Right, the resurrection power. Okay.
Yeah. See, when Jesus said, I'm going to go away and I will send you the Holy Spirit. I will send you the Comforter. See, well, how do we know that he made it? He went into a cloud, but no one saw him go any further. How do we know that he made it? On the day of Pentecost. The fire, the wind, and the tongues. Tangible evidence he made it. He didn't just go part way and fizzle out. He made it all the way to the Father. Our faith in building yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, It's the praying in tongues, having this tangible evidence of the resurrection.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
That is building our faith.
Building our faith.
See, if we would have been there the day after Jesus was raised from the dead, and we were anyone other than Thomas, we would have experienced him being there. Because, you know, he stayed for 50 days and visited with them. And so they had tangible evidence that he'd been raised from the dead. Okay. When we speak in tongues, we have that tangible evidence. Okay. They had the faith. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I to you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. Now, they could do that because they were so closely connected to the resurrection. As I pray in tongues, I am as closely connected to the resurrection as they are. Here's the way God's explained this to me. God could come and change the United States of America.
Yes.
God could come and change the world. All he'd have to do is show up at Mecca, and the Muslims would be done for. But he said, that's not what I'm going to do. Everything I do, I'm going to do through my people. And I'm not going to do anything except through my people. So he explained it to me. And so he said, when my people get activated, then it'll get done. If they don't, it won't get done. And so it's our turn.
It's our turn.
See, as the old evangelist used to say years ago, God's a good checker player. So is your move.
That's cute. God's a good checker player. I'll have to remember that.
2 Chronicles 7:14 tells the story there. If my people.
If my people, which are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray. See? And of course, when Jesus came, he said, repent. Repent. See, we look out there to the sinners and tell them to repent. No, I'm the one that needs to repent. Until God can do everything he wants to do in me, repentance will change me.
Yeah.
And without repentance, I won't change.
That's good.
I was visiting with God the other day and talking about sinners, you know, cause a lot of problems in this world. And God said, I'm not concerned about the problems that sinners cause. He said, it's the ones who know me and reject me.
That's right.
That cause me problems. Romans chapter 1. They knew God, but did not worship God, and changed the glory of God into images, into idols. He said, that's my problem, is those who know me have taken up idols and are no longer worshiping me. I can take care of the sinners if I can just get my people to repent. If my people, which are called by my name, see, that's God's problem, is that Christians are too settled down in the world, too interested in just daily living. But the young people aren't.
No, they're not. They're open.
Our young people, it is just shameful, the way they are just giving themselves totally to the Lord, totally embarrassing. To those of us that would rather just be comfortable. They make me really, really uncomfortable. Because they don't want to do anything but be in the Word. They want to obey God. They want to hear God and obey. I mean, they want to jump and do. No, it doesn't matter how bold they have to be, how courageous they have to be, how big a fool they make themselves. They just want to get God's work done. That's just embarrassing. They're just going to have to cool it. Come to our
Brother
church.
Brother Wayne.
Hey, when God called me to the ministry, that was the first thing my pastor told me. You're just too radical and you've got to cool it. I was seeing visions. Now, I'm Baptist, Southern Baptist.
Yeah, I know.
And here I'm seeing visions and getting revelation. And he said, well, you'll settle down.
But he didn't, you didn't, did you?
No.
No.
I just got worse and worse. But I'm going to get worser.
Worser? Okay.
I'm going to get worser.
Yeah, I've heard that one before, too.
Yeah. And so, you know, what they're saying is, let's just make it easy. Let's just... That's not, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let 1 minute of heaven show up on earth and see what happens. Let God's people have 1 minute experience in heaven and see what happens on earth. Let a bunch of young people. He's doing something. He's up to something. He's not done. You know, this whole concept of, well, it's just going to kind of dwindle away and then Jesus is going to come and get us. Uh-uh. The church is going to be powerful and strong. A bride without spot or blemish or any such thing. And we're going to be powerful to accomplish God's plan and God's purpose. Right?
Right.
Right.
Hallelujah. Okay. Ephesians 3, and I know I read this to you over and over. I put it in my newsletter all the time. But I can't get it, so I don't think you got it yet. So we'll keep working on it. I don't think a million years from now we'll get it. But I'm sure hard after it. Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, and this is from the Amplified Bible. May Christ, through your faith, actually dwell, settle down, abide, make his permanent home in your hearts. May you be rooted deep in love. I know I can plant trees in dirt, but to be rooted, is love tangible enough to actually get rooted in? I guess so. And founded securely on love. I can stand on a rock, it's pretty secure. But is love that secure? Is love that tangible? That you may have the power and be strong to apprehend and grasp with all the saints, God's devoted people, the experience of that love. So he's saying, you, every one of you need to personally experience this tangible love. The reality of this love. Be rooted and grounded in love. What is the breadth, the length, the height, and depth of it? I guess it can be measured then. Mm-hmm. Although these rods that I saw, I couldn't find any end to them. I could do chin-ups on it. I could grab love and just do chin-ups on it. That you may really come to know practically through experience for yourselves the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience. Goes way, way, way. So when it says, and God so loved, the so part of that throws it clear out of our comprehension at this point. Even though it was very tangible. God hanging on the cross. God saying, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. What could be more loving than that? What a demonstration. What a demonstration. You know, and of course, Stephen picks up on it. Father, lay not this sin to their charge while they're stoning him to death. What a demonstration. For God so demonstrated his love to us. And so the purpose, that you may be filled through all your being unto all the fullness of God. may have the richest measure of the divine presence and become a body wholly filled and flooded with God himself. So I think about that and I think, now if I really believed that, how many hours a day would I spend praying in tongues? If I really thought that there was something to that verse of Scripture. Well, I happen to know the people who did, and it happened. So it's not just something on a page. I've actually met the people. I don't know if any of you have ever met Dick Carter or not, Dr. Dick Carter, Spirit-filled Southern Baptist, went all over the world doing missions. He'd come to the Berean Baptist Church there in Kansas City. You could have your back turned. You could be sitting on the front pew. He'd come in the back door. You could feel him walk in the door. Mm-hmm. But then he did spend 40 days at a time in fasting and prayer. 16 hours a day praying in tongues. But when he said to the dead, get up, they got up. And when the little old ladies all hunched over with arthritis, and he'd say, straighten up, and they'd just come straight up and be completely healed. A lot of times when I'm out driving on the road, and especially when I get to run the same route over and over, I remember 36 going between Cameron and Chillicothe, I guess it was, 36 Highway, and I would go past this one particular farm, and the farmhouse was way back off the road, but you could literally feel the presence of God 100% of the time when you drove past there. It would just, it's like when you go to the Lake of the Ozarks and you can feel lust.
Yeah.
It's like you almost have to cut it to get through it. The love of God would be just parked right there on that farm, filling clear over on 36 Highway.
Wow.
I never met the people. I have no idea who they are. Mm-hmm. But you could actually, and I do as I'm driving. I hit these pockets. And sometimes it may be just one family or even one person, or it may be a church that lives in the love of God. See, if we really understood what church was, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples because you have loved one for another. You know, we think, well, we need to love one another. That's not what he's talking about. He's saying, if you would love one another, my power would be so great, would be so present. My saving power, my delivering power, my healing power would be so great. Well, we really need to love one another. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about this. He said, I am love. God is love. The only way God knows how to operate is in love. Whether he's creating the universe or building the church or saving the lost. For God so loved. And it is very, very tangible. It's very powerful, this love. If we understood it, we would just abandon everything else in church in favor of loving one another. I know I share testimonies over and over again, but one time when we were working out at the church, it was a Saturday and we were cutting weeds and mowing, and I was running a weed eater clear out on the edge of the property, and the ladies were in fixing lunch for us, and some of the ladies were in painting and doing different things, just fixing the church up. That's all it was, a work day. We were all sweating, grimy. And the love of God came down on that parking lot just like a great waterfall and just splattered. And I told the people, I said, I've never experienced anything like this in any revival I've ever been in. And God shows up on a work day. Why was it? Because people loved one another and they were helping one another. No one was boss. We were just all there to help one another. And the love of God came attracted to the love of people. And drew it in. Jesus said, where two or more gathered together in my name, I'll be in the midst of them. The Cross of Victory Church, the angels have been showing up. There are not that many people there. And like 50 angels will show up and start singing about halfway into the worship service. They sing for an hour. About a half hour into it, these angels will come. Well, yesterday, Jesus showed up. I couldn't hardly take it. Yeah. But you say, well, doesn't Jesus go to church? Not in that way. Not in that way. And the people just loved one another, and they loved God. And God says, I think I'll go to church at Cross Victory today. Mm-hmm. Jesus, the head of the church, said, I think I'll just go and sit and enjoy this. Mm-hmm. And he just came in. I mean, I felt his very being. Mm-hmm. Just come in and sit down. Mm-hmm. Didn't say a thing. Just sat there and enjoyed. Church. If we knew, if we had any idea, what would church be like? What would our prayer time be like? Well, the whole point is repent. Repent. It is real. If we will repent, if I will repent, if you will repent, we will be different and we will make a difference for the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.